Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us this afternoon. Hope you enjoyed that good study by Brother James Maletti in the previous half hour, and very good looking at the King James Bible, and one of the reasons why we stick with the King James Bible. So a very good program. I really enjoyed that. Also, hope you'll be able to stay tuned after our program, of course, as Pastor Andy Rusnacko, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and he will have another great message. It'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. But in the meanwhile, I am sandwiched in between them. Of course, Brother Maletti was filling in for Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and he was out, one of his children, not feeling well, so he was tending to family business there. But I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and want to thank you for listening, and we're going to open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just give you the honor and the glory for it. Thank you for another year of broadcast, and we just pray that you would just bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody today. Help us to point people to Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today, and we're winding down the year 2017. It's hard to believe that the year is almost over. I would say this is the last broadcast of the year, but it's not. We'll be on Sunday night, New Year's Eve, and we come on at 11 o'clock until midnight. Actually, we end, in radio time. You notice in TV and radio, things do not start exactly because of station breaks and things like that, and they don't end exactly at the time, but we're on 11 to 12, and we'll be off the air just before the new year kicks in. So I'll celebrate the new year's, hopefully, by walking out of the studio. How's that? That's exciting, huh? But I hope that you are doing well, and I hope that you are enjoying a little bit of quiet after all the hustle and bustle of Christmas. And I do want to thank everybody who's been praying for us. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve candlelight service at our church there in Richfield, Ohio. We had a very good turnout, especially with the cold and the snow. And so we appreciate that. And also, while I'm speaking about that, we had a really good turnout last week at our Friday night Bible study. And that's always encouraging. I think we had probably the biggest turnout that we've had in quite a while. It was big enough we actually had to get some more chairs out, and that's a good problem to have, to have to get more chairs out because more people arrive. So we were excited and pleased. And in mentioning our Friday night Bible study, we know that a lot of churches don't do anything on Friday night. We're not trying to take people away from a good church. I mean, we want you to be in a good church at your church family, but if you don't have a church family, or if you're not in a church that teaches and preaches the Word of God, or if you're just looking for something that you can do on Friday night to hopefully expand your knowledge and understanding of the Bible, you can join us. We meet every Friday night at 7 o'clock. We actually go 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. It's an informal Bible study, and we allow you to bring the questions and the topics. You know, on Sunday at our church services, I have the messages and kind of set the tone there. But on Friday night, it's a good time for me as a pastor to be able to learn what people are having questions about, learn what people are not understanding or struggling with. And so that's been the format that we've used for quite a few years. And we meet, of course, at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77 on Brecksville Road, which is State Route 21. We're right there where 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. In fact, looking out the windows from the meeting room that we meet in, you can see the toll booths and stuff for the turnpikes. That's how close we are to 77 and the turnpikes intersection there. But let me invite you to come out Friday night at 7 o'clock, and it's informal. We have refreshments, and we just go with the topics and questions people bring up, and it's just a good time of fellowship. Sometimes we talk more about questions about the Bible. Sometimes we talk more about current events in light of God's Word. And if that sounds familiar, well, that's the format of our program. That's how we got the basic idea with this program when we had the opportunity to start on the radio some, oh, I guess it's about 10 and a half years ago now. We were trying to figure out what to do, and we thought, we started out late at night, then that's our 11 o'clock service, of course, or I'm sorry, our 11 o'clock program here on AM 1220. The Word is the one we've been doing the longest. But we thought, well, rather than just do a message recorded or just a simple Bible study, we did the open line format with people calling in with questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And basically what we did was we transferred the idea of our Friday night Bible study onto the radio. And, well, like I said, some 10 and a half years later, it seems to be working. And maybe in a few years, we'll know what it's going to do. So, but we're glad to have you with us. And, of course, we are a live program today. And if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And there were a couple of things that I was thinking about talking about here, and of course, the end of the year and winding down with some things. But there's one thing before 2017 comes to an end that I thought that I might actually touch on here real quick. And forgive me if I'm pulling some of this out of memory, but we had talked previously in the year about the Jubilee years in Israel, and if I remember correctly, in 1917 was the Balfour. That was the time when General Allenby captured Jerusalem. Jerusalem surrendered to him, and that marked the end of the Ottoman Empire that had ruled there several hundred years, and that was a Jubilee year. And the Jubilee every 50 years was the Jubilee year that we're talking about, where land and things were supposed to revert to the rightful owners. 50 years prior to that, in the 1800s, was Warren rediscovered the old city and of David there in and around Jerusalem. And then, like I said, that was 50 years later was the Jubilee year when the Ottoman Empire lost its control of the land, and the British took charge. And then, of course, that led to the issuing of the Balfour Declaration, which allowed for the formation of a Jewish homeland. And that original territory set aside for a Jewish homeland toward the end of World War I. Remember, the Ottoman Empire, based out of Turkey, controlled that area. They were an Axis power allied with Germany. And of course, they were on the losing side of World War I. And Britain inherited what they called at that time, or as a result of that, British Palestine. And that would be the area of Jerusalem and Jordan. And that area was set aside as a Jewish homeland. Of course, there was a lot of unrest by the Arab Muslims in that area. And as a consequence, the British said, we'll give land for peace in order to quell these disturbances. And they carved off about three quarters of the Jewish land, and they created the country of Jordan. And that was supposed to bring peace to the situation. Of course, that didn't. And so later on, after World War II, at the end of World War II, the British put the Palestinian problem into the hands of the UN. And the UN promptly decided that in order to solve the the problem of peace there in that region, that they should give land for peace, and they were going to carve up the land into several disjointed areas so that they could give an Arab land to some of the Arab Muslims, and then a little pittance left of the original allotted land under the Balfour Declaration for the Jews in that area. And of course, that wasn't good enough either. The Arab interest continued to stir up unrest, and the Jews, of course, finally in 1948 declared themselves an independent state. And then promptly the country of Jordan, which, remember, was created as a land for peace deal, they attacked along with the other Arab states, and Jordan captured the what we call today the West Bank, that includes such areas as Bethlehem and Galilee and all these areas that you've probably never seen in your Bible before, have you? Now, I say that facetiously. Obviously, these are biblical areas that figure largely in the scriptures and in the history of the Jewish people. But they claimed that land, and in 1967, again, 50 years after the previous Jubilee year, which was in 1917, in 1967, Israel preemptively attacked the Arab neighbors that were planning on attacking them, and they were very successful, and they captured the West Bank, and they captured the Jerusalem. And it's interesting that we have this series of every 50 years, and so speculation was, what would happen then in 2017, which is the next 50 years, supposedly next Jubilee year, and what would happen? And I was thinking back on the course of the year, and I was looking at some things and listening to the radio this morning, and one of the things that comes to mind that has been very important that happened in 2017 is the recognition by the United States that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Say, well, that what's the big deal? Well, it's such a big deal that the UN felt prompted to have a vote condemning the United States and attempting at least to reverse that decision. And this is a case where if it wasn't that big a deal, why did the UN have to have a vote on this? And certainly our ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, has really been a standout in her handling of this situation and standing up to the pressure of the UN, and President Trump, of course, standing up to the pressure of the UN. But again, as I said in a previous broadcast, in Zechariah chapter 12, in verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Now, we're talking about the coming of the time of the day of the Lord and his wrath being poured out on the world during the tribulation, and the return of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14 that when he returns in Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." And this corresponds to Revelation chapter 19, when the Lord comes back on a white horse and defeats the armies of the Antichrist. And it says in verse 4 here, Zechariah 14, verse 4, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south." And there's a large fault that runs right through the Mount of Olives that, if triggered, would result in a splitting of that mountain, just in accordance with what's said here in Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 4. And this is when the Lord returns. So when we see what's happening in Jerusalem today, I can't help but think that this is setting up for that time. Now, we're not in the tribulation period right now. There are some people who mistakenly teach and believe, and many times they're truly of the, you know, a you know, the dedicated to the Lord and wanting to serve God. It's just that they're suffering from some false understanding or misunderstanding of the scriptures, and perhaps some poor teaching on some things in the scriptures and the purpose of the tribulation period. But there are some people who mistakenly think that the church is going to go through all or part of the tribulation. The tribulation is a time of Daniel's 70th week from the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. I'm not going to turn right there right at the moment, but it's a period of judgment and wrath that's poured out on the world. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, talking about us as believers in this day and age, in this dispensation of grace, he says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And we understand that as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians here to comfort us. In fact, he says, he continues on here in verse number 10, saying, "Who died for us," talking about Jesus, "that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." So he said to comfort ourselves. And these things are written for our comfort. And prior to that, in the previous chapter, chapter 4 here in 1 Thessalonians, he also writes things to encourage us. He says, starting verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Remember when Jesus went up onto the Mount of Olives and he ascended up into heaven, the two angels that appeared and were talking to the disciples, they told them that Jesus was going to come back the same way that he left. He was caught up into the air, and he was caught up in the clouds. And the Bible talks about him returning at the end of the tribulation period in the clouds. And of course, we return with them. Now notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 here. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He's writing something here, and he says here, let me read verse 14 again, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." He's talking about those that have died as believers. He says God is going to bring them with him. Now, there's some people who falsely teach this man-made, or maybe I should say satanically made, concept of soul sleep. And people get caught up in this. The idea is that when you die, you sleep in the grave. Well, your body does, but the soul and the spirit, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, absent from the body means to be present with the spirit. Paul elsewhere talked about being caught between two conflicting desires. One desire, which was better for him, was to die and to be with the Lord in heaven. The other desire, which was better for us, the people he was talking to, was for him to be here where he could continue to minister God's word and do the work that God had for him. And you could see his dilemma. If soul sleep existed, there would be no dilemma. He'd want to stay alive as long as he could so that he could work as long as he could, knowing that when he died, he would be, you know, just doing nothing until the resurrection. But he understood, and that's why he said there in 2 Corinthians, and let me turn over there actually, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I believe it is, here, where he said, We are confident in verse 8, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He understood that. When you die, your soul and spirit go to be with the Lord. Your body goes into the grave. That's if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your body goes into the grave. Your soul and spirit go into place of torment, a place called hell, where you will be until the second resurrection. But back here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, Jesus is coming, and even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, that makes sense, because the soul and the spirit are with the Lord in heaven. Now follow this. He says in verse 15 here, for we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, prevent here is using it in an older form, or in the King James Bible, put together in the 1600s. Prevent was frequently used in terms of precede, and you can still find that definition in dictionaries. That's what they're talking about here. We're not going to precede them. For the Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Somebody tried to say that that meant that Jesus was Michael the archangel. That's a false teaching. It's just that Jesus descends with a shout, and the archangel, that's presumably Michael the archangel, is going to shout at that time. And the trump of the Lord and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, wait a minute. If he's bringing the dead in Christ with him, them that sleep in Jesus with him, what's he talking about here? Well, if soul sleep was true and in the Bible, we'd have a problem. But if you go with what Paul wrote into the Bible there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. We know the Lord is in heaven. And so when Jesus comes back, bringing the soul and the spirit of those that sleep in Christ with him, the bodies are raised. You can go over, I won't take time, don't have time. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about this mortal putting on immortality, this corruptible putting on incorruption, and we are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. With the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those bodies of the departed saints are resurrected. The soul and the spirit that comes with Jesus from heaven are reunited with that new body. And then he says in verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's comfort in that. We'll be caught up to be with him. We will be in heaven. The tribulation period will start sometime after this catching away of the believers. And so when we see Jerusalem becoming a burdensome stone to all the people in the whole world being concerned about this little town, probably small as and no bigger than Akron, Ohio, and yet the whole world is upset with it. And the world's upset with the United States, but it's having an effect. And I think that this is a tremendous thing. Some people are saying this is one of the biggest stories out of 2017. As a result of that, other countries are thinking about moving their capital or their embassies to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. And it's causing all kind of reverberations over there. This may very well be the big story that coincides with the Jubilee year. Something that very important that's happened to Israel and will be very important in the history of Israel. And you go back to these 50 years, these Jubilee years, and perhaps that's what the story is from 2017. But the fact of the matter is, we know that the Lord is coming back. We see these things taking shape. Jerusalem is becoming a burdensome stone to all people. Iran issued a statement that rejects what the United States has done, and they claim that Israel's the capital of Palestine. Well, Palestine is a name given to Israel by the Romans in the second century as an insult after they destroyed Jerusalem and forced most of the Jews out of the land. They renamed it after their ancient enemies, the Philistines, Philistia, Palestinia. Get a King James Bible. Look up the word Palestine. You'll find it there. It's a translation of the same word that we get Philistine and Philistia from. That's who the Palestinians were, the original ones, not Arab. They were the the Philistines, a completely different group of people, came from Noah's son Ham, not Shem, like the Arabs and the Jews. The name was applied there, and all of those that lived there were called Palestinians up until relatively recently. Well, we're out of time today. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. What a way to end the year, by putting your faith in Christ. Thanks for listening. God bless. Happy New Year.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.